Hello, I'm Stephanie Belcher.
And I'm Del Belcher, and welcome to
Learn to Like Each Other. How are you today, dear Delbert?
Stephanie, what a week! We took a week off, and now we're back. I have a candy hangover from the holiday festivities, and now we're here, and I'm excited. I'm excited to be back.
What does a candy hangover feel like?
Oh, it feels like you ate a lot of candy yesterday, and now you feel yucky.
Oh, yeah. Tell people about your Halloween costume.
Oh, man. So my Halloween costume. A couple weekends ago, we went on a little trippity trip, and we went to the Salvation Army, and you were like, here's a wizard robe. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's cool. I don't know what I'll do with it, but I will wear it for Halloween. And then I got that, and then I remembered my sister had like that Mickey Mouse Fantasia mm-hmm. magician hat.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, and I have a staff, like a walking staff. And then I'm like, oh, you know what? I'll be a social media wizard.
Yeah.
So the clothing, the outfits informed the costume, and I tied a little selfie thing to the staff. So I had a selfie staff, which I feel that's what wizards back in the day would have had if they had selfies. Selfie staff. I was a social media wizard. I won third place in the costume contest.
Well, it's funny. I don't know if people know, but you do social media for your job,
mm-hmm.
full time, and so at work, everyone I think loved it.
Yes, because they are. When you're in social media, people always call you like social media wizard or
guru.
Social media guru or ninja or something. So it was fitting, and I liked it. I thought it was super fun.
You did a good job. I thought it was silly.
Well, you're the inspiration. You found the costume and you made it happen. So
there we go.
Good job.
And so last week I went to a conference for work. For work, I went to the Forbes 30 Under 30 Summit in Detroit. And every time I say that, people ask me how old I am.
You snuck in.
I'm 34, but you didn't have to be under 30 to go. But I entered a contest to go for work and won.
And woo-hoo, congratulations.
It was kind of cool because it was in Detroit and it was at the Masonic Temple, which if you've never been.
Was it crazy?
I heard from 30 different people, they all said, did you know this is the largest Masonic Temple in the world?
Really? I didn't know that.
Like, yeah, well, I guess I didn't look it up, but that's what everyone kept saying. So I tried to take pictures of all of the secret national treasure type symbols that I found.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a lot of Egyptian looking things and then a lot of
I know nothing about
tools,
the Masons.
And then it's floors upon room, weird corners. And the one thing that's interesting. In the main auditorium,
mm-hmm.
not the Jack White Theater, but mm-hmm. the main auditorium, which is pretty large. I think it seats 4,000 or 5,000. It's pretty big. And I had to go to the restroom. But the thing with that theater is there's a lot of, if you're on the second level
mm-hmm.
and you go up, you see a lot of doors. But half the doors in the back, if you go out, it's two staircases down and then you're outside and you can't come back in.
Really?
So the ushers tell you to use other doors that go back out to the hallways. So I went up and I asked an usher like what door I could go out to go to the bathroom. And then she says, oh no, there's one in the back. So I'd never been to a theater before where there was just a ladies' room in the back. I didn't have to leave. Walked up.
What?
Ladies' room. It was fantastic.
Wow.
But then on another day, I thought I went out the correct door to go into a hallway to leave, but I went out and had to exit and come all the way back
in. It's those
in.
Secret Masons with
That's
all their tricks and their
so
traps.
That's what I thought. It was so cool. There were so many little doors and little hallways where I thought, I don't know where this would go to. Yeah, I tried to enter all of them. It's very weird.
That's so fun. The only thing I know about Masons is from National Treasure.
Mm-hmm. That's everything you need to know.
I did play in a wedding at a wedding there, and we were on like the fifth floor in one of the, like, I guess it was ceremony rooms with like the black and white checkered floor and all the red curtains. But at the, it's so big that at the same time there was a roller derby happening in a theater, and then there was like two concerts going on that were separate. It's a gigantic place.
Well, and so the Forbes conference, so the Masonic Temple, I think the summit was in the main part of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, I think, five or six floors. And then on each of those floors, there's up to three different conference rooms, which range in size from holding, I don't know, it was anywhere between 100 and 1,000.
It's so big.
So between those five floors, you can hold so many different people.
Between 500 and 1,000.
But the it's interesting. Yeah. It's interesting because the layout on every single floor is not, it's similar and parallel, but different. So some of the conference rooms were designed like an Egyptian theme, and it was orange and white with all these hieroglyphics. But then in another one, it was blue velvet.
Weird.
And then in another one, it was designed like a typical opera looking theater where it was the balconies, which were really fancy and only two or three people could sit in them. And those were all like scalloped and on the outside. It was so different.
Was that the best part of the conference, being in this weird place?
The best part of the conference for me was, I think they're called the Detroit Youth Choir.
Oh, yeah. They were like a finalist on America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
They were amazing.
You got to see them live.
They were so, they did such a cool job. I was like dancing and singing. That was my favorite part.
Nice.
So that was cool.
Very fun. Well, I'm glad you're back.
Yes.
I'm glad you're,
one more thing on the temple.
Uh-huh.
At some point, I ran into a woman that worked there, and I was talking to her about it, and I asked her if they had a lot of, this was a really large event, and so I asked her if they had a lot of these, and she said, oh, no, it's mostly concerts and small events.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said, you know, I just described it's five floors, holds thousands of people. And then she said, 90% of the whole building, no one will ever see.
Yeah.
And I was like, take me to the building.
I have to go there now.
So cool.
Ooh.
It's just offices. I don't even know.
Did you see anything that might look like it was the start of a mystery?
I did. There was one bathroom. I think it was off of, you told me to go to the bouncy gym.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that was like on the fifth floor.
There's a gym with a floor with springs in it. So like when you dance or play sports, it's like it bounces.
Well, maybe this wasn't it, but it was like on the fifth floor, the one I went to. Mm-hmm. Was that the one you went to?
I think so.
And it was, I think it might have been, I tried to go there, but off of there, there's just a bathroom and it's down a really long hallway. So, and it's, okay. So you come upon this hallway, to the left is the gym area, and then if you go to the right, there's a bathroom, but in order to get there, you go right, go down three stairs, and then take a left on a hallway that's about 15 feet.
Okay.
But when you get there, the bathroom is on the left, but then there was a door on the right that was just cracked open. And I was like, ooh. And there was like, it was like a single light in the background.
And then I got a text saying, you may never see me again.
I know. I tried to push the door open a little bit. I was like, oh, I'll just peek in. And it wouldn't move. But it was just cracked open. The Masons.
Got to go back.
I know.
Gotta go back and check
it
out.
You and I together exploring that building.
Ooh, that would be wonderful. There's probably a lot of compartments where we could go and kiss. Secretly.
I don't think I could do that there. Like, no, we're going to get something.
We're going to get something. Well, thanks for joining Del and Stephanie's Mystery Architecture Corner. I love that building. It's so fun. If you're ever in Detroit, you'll see it because it looks crazy and it's big. But cool. I'm glad you made it back safely. I'm glad you didn't get captured. I'm glad you learned some things. And good job.
Thanks. I'm here.
You made it.
I'm alive.
You're alive. Well, Stephanie, thanks for sharing all of that good information. But here on Learn to Like Each Other, what people come for, they come for the fun banter, but they stay because you're going to drop some knowledge bombs. So what are we talking about this week in relationships, hun?
So the summit was for 30 under 30, and the whole premise of, so it was put on by Forbes, and the whole premise for them doing this was, when you think of Forbes, I don't know what you traditionally think of, but I think of a lot of older business people.
Yeah.
Stock marketing.
Yeah, doing Forbes things.
They're Forbesing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was traditionally a print magazine, and they found that they didn't really have a younger base of readers. So they started doing this conference to engage younger people and get them interested in Forbes, which I thought was a good idea.
Yeah, because like the business knowledge isn't really going to, doesn't really matter how old you are. Like, it's still the same stuff.
Yeah, there's always some basics. How do we deliver
it? Yeah. How they deliver it's got to be a little changing and different. Engage those non-traditional print folks.
Finance is finance.
Yeah.
Generally, like marketing as theoretically, like the delivery changes.
Right.
But that got me thinking about whether we're really talking about what younger generations are doing.
Uh-huh.
I think it's important to be understanding of that and understand their similarities and differences.
Yeah.
So I found an article from the Pew Research Center.
Hmm.
Pew, pew, pew.
I've never thought of that before. And now that's all I'm going to think about whenever someone does the Pew Research Center.
Bang, bang. And so the name of the article, or it's from Dating in the Digital Age. They have a whole series on that. And this one is specifically talking about teen voices.
Okay.
But I thought we could call this How the Future Dates.
How the Future Dates.
How the people attending Forbes 30 under 30. Well, no, it's even younger than that.
So like a Gen Y, Gen Alpha.
Gen Z.
Yeah.
So how are younger people dating and interacting in the world?
I have no idea. Are they like 10? I don't know how old the future is.
Sidebar. One thing. At the conference, summit, whatever it's called, I did hear, we were talking about this, and you know there's buzzwords every few years. Strategy was all the rage a few years ago.
Storytelling.
Yes. This time around, it seems to be space.
Oh, I've heard that at conferences and on LinkedIn. Everyone's talking about like the digital space or the self-driving car space.
And I heard it used so interchangeably that I didn't know if it meant everything or it meant nothing. But now I hear that word and I cringe a little for some reason.
Stephanie, you and I do relationships in the podcast space.
I don't. There's something about it. It's so, it's like, this is my space. I need to think about why.
I always feel like when you use the word space like that, it's like a roundabout, trendy way of saying something very simple.
Yeah.
Like, we make burritos. We provide fast food and for the burrito space.
Yeah, in the fast food space. We're in fast food. Anyway, so let's not use that word ever in the podcast again.
Can I use space when I'm talking about, like,
outer space? Yes.
Or this space in my heart that can only
typing.
Be filled by macaroni and cheese.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay.
That is acceptable.
Okay, good, good.
So this is from the Pew Research Center.
Pew, pew.
And so they went across the United States and they did focus groups with 100 different teens.
Mm-hmm.
And in those focus groups, they talked to teens about their personal experiences with social media and romantic relationships.
Okay.
And so they asked a bunch of different questions. Here are the results. And so when it comes to romantic relationships, guess what percentage of teens have said they've had a romantic relationship?
Teens? Who knows? Probably none of them. None of them are dating. They're all playing Fortnite. They're all dabbing. And they don't date because they're just interested in Beanie Babies? I don't know.
So of the teens that they talked to, 35% said that they've had some romantic relationship at some point.
Okay. I mean, I feel like that's pretty basic teen.
Yeah.
Even our teen years, you probably would have said similar.
I think so.
Or you feel like it's romantic. Like, I'm so in love.
And so taking that 35%, of that 35%, so 35 people,
mm-hmm.
Of that 35%, there's another 35% within that 35. Does that make sense?
Yes. So out of 100, there's 35%.
Yep.
And out of that 35%.
10 or 11 people, yeah. 12, something like that. Have never dated someone they met online.
Okay.
And so
I feel like it's hard to date online when you can't, like, drive.
Yeah.
But maybe it's all digital relationship. Who knows?
Well, and I thought that too. I thought you're probably going to date people you know from school or places where you see people frequently.
But so a lot of them have dated people they've met online.
35% of the 35% okay. have.
Huh.
So some have.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
And so about 25% of the 35%, it's getting confusing.
Mm-hmm. It's that five, that extra syllable yes. throws me off.
They express a lot of concern or worry about dating online because they're worried that it's unsafe.
Okay. Still today. It's been, I feel like online dating has been around for so long and people are still wary of it.
Well, I feel like the way that online dating gets talked about with teens, my impression would be if I were to assume, I'd think, oh, they're all dating online. They all think it's great and safe. They don't even think about it.
Right.
This research is saying that's not true. Most of them aren't dating online.
Huh.
Because a decent amount here mentioned that they're worried that it's unsafe.
Okay.
And so they mentioned some of the things they're worried about are being catfished or being lied to about what the other person looks like. Yeah,
because along with the rise of online dating, the catfishing and the show, and there was the movie and, okay.
The TV show.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I get that.
However, of those that had dated online, there is a teen dating app that folks can use. I don't know if teens are listening to this. It's called Meet Me.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of it, but it's specifically related.
We're not the market.
No. Never heard of it, but
I'm getting targeted with a lot of teen dating app stuff. I don't know why.
If the phone is listening. And so they also mentioned that they might look on Facebook or on Instagram.
Yeah. Facebook has a dating app now.
Oh, does it really?
It's integrated into Facebook. It's like hidden on the side. If you're single, apparently you're getting targeted. But if you're not, you can still find it. It's just not
as... Yeah, it's not for you.
But I just feel like that's terrible.
Well, it makes sense that they're just using the people they already have to do. Yeah.
But it's just like Facebook. You're all in my grill. You're up in my grill, Facebook.
So when it came to showing romantic interest, or whether they were interested in someone... Half the teens mentioned using social media as a communication tool to show interest in their partner.
Oh, like I'm going to like all the things you like.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so they mentioned some of the things they do would be to like a comment or react to a post to show that they're interested.
Or do the dreaded like a picture from 3 years ago.
Oh, we've all been there. Like you forget that you're on someone's wall doing some stalking and you're like 2016. No!
The worst. There's not like an Emily Post of the social media world.
Yeah. But
that would definitely be one of her no-nos.
An Emily Post etiquette for posts. A post post.
A post post.
Post post post.
Mm-hmm.
But they mentioned that they use social media more than anything. They use it for information gathering on someone that they like.
Yeah, get the details.
I feel like that's probably how everyone uses it, like at different rates, but like, okay, this is the best way I can stalk someone to make sure that they're okay.
Well, I was doing this with just some friends the other day. They were talking about a person and like, I just didn't know who they were. So I just like looked them up on Facebook. I'm like, okay, here's a bunch of stuff about the people. Just like it enhanced the conversation for my side of things. So using it to date, you know, I may have stalked you on Facebook a little bit to find out.
Yeah, for sure. You. Who wouldn't do that?
I know.
People I know have started dating someone, and the first thing I do is look them up on social media. I'm like, can I find anything negative quickly?
Yes.
But it does sound like there's a hidden flirting code, like the phrase, hey. Well, you're typing it, hey.
With two Y's.
Well, this one, they just have hey, but I guess maybe Y's add to the flirtation.
Oh, hey is a flirt word, huh?
Hey. Or there's certain emojis that are like a coded language for flirting.
Oh, fun emoji tip.
Mm-hmm.
Was it at time of recording? It was like yesterday or the day before. Facebook has said that they are going to ban the usage of like sexually suggestive text and words. And they're not going to let you use like eggplant or peach emojis next to them. Ugh. So if you say something about like your butt, and then do a peach emoji, they will not let you do it.
So dumb.
They it's can't. Like
there's neo-Nazis on Facebook, like, threatening to kill people, but the eggplant and peaches are all
if you are talking to your mother about a delicious eggplant parmesan and peach cobbler, you can use those emojis all you like. But if you say butt or something like that, they'll take it down.
It's so dumb because one of our friends was getting, like, she was physically getting threatened on Facebook and they didn't see that as a threat. Mm-hmm. Maybe next time we just need to add some of those emojis to a post get it shut down.
I know, but if they didn't make that peach just look so thick, it wouldn't be a problem, I guess.
Whatever. People are concerned about the wrong thing here. By and large, though, when they ask, eggplant. When asked the number one way they flirt, 55% of teens said that they talk to someone in person.
Huh.
So when they asked for social media based and in-person flirting, like how do you prefer to flirt with someone that you like? 55% said that they like to flirt with someone in person. Right? So that's the number one way.
Yeah. I think it's easier that way because you can get their reaction in real time.
It's true.
And there's that. It's hard to tell what someone's saying over just letters.
I agree with you because sometimes you don't know how it comes across or...
If their pheromones get real stinky or like, oh, they don't like this at all.
And then 50% flirt by friending someone on Facebook or a social network. 47% do it by liking, commenting, or otherwise interacting with someone. But then scrolling down a little bit, 10% flirt by sending them a sexy or flirty pictures of video of themselves, and then 7% make a video for them.
Hey, like just talking.
Yeah.
Singing.
Maybe this is where TikTok's coming in.
TikTok. Ugh. I'm still trying to get into that. TikTok. Okay. That's another topic. Anyway, that's very interesting.
You can do TikTok next time. And
yeah. TikTok flirting.
Yeah. That'd probably be with the video.
Everybody on TikTok is just like really horny and it's, I don't like it. I just want to see funny stuff and I don't want to see people trying to be horny all the time. I just give me funny videos. I'm a grown up. I don't want to deal with this. I want to see someone falling off a bike. Like, just, is that too much to ask?
Apparently. So then they started talking about if teens are in a romantic relationship, how do they communicate?
Mm-hmm.
And so they communicate a lot by texting and talking on the phone.
Talking on the phone.
It's pretty basic. It's what you, I feel like it's just what you and I do.
That's what I do. That's what I did when I was a teen.
And so 72% text with their romantic partner every single day. And 39% talk on the phone every day.
So it's kind of funny how, like, how everything changes, but then nothing changes.
Yeah, exactly.
So my grandparents' old house back in Peoria, Illinois, they had an upstairs. And they had a closet that was, like, that you could, like, sit in. It was, like, off the ground, like a pantry for sheets and dryer. And they had a phone in that closet. And my dad said that it was the, like, phone booth because him and his siblings would use that to call their friends on the phone. But you could always hear everything on the outside of it. So it seemed private. If you went in there as a kid, you could see all these, like, notes and phone numbers from, like, 30 years before. And so my dad would mention how, you know, you'd come home and then hear, you know, somebody yelling or having an argument with their boyfriend or girlfriend on the phone in the closet, and they're just like, you know, it's not that private. But it's like,
I know what you mean.
People are always like, the phone is so integral to relationships.
And I think when you're on the phone, sometimes it makes you feel like it's private, although it's not, because your attention is focused on.
It's like people who talk, and then having a wall and a door, and in the dark, it's like people who are in the stall at the bathroom talking on the phone. It's
And I think people feel like there's just this agreement that, well, I'm on this thing, just pretend it doesn't exist. Pretend I'm not talking.
Yes, especially in public.
Yeah.
Oof.
And so they did mention that when it comes to texting, it can be really helpful for a lot of teens to text because it helps alleviate some shyness that they might feel.
Yeah, I've heard that before where texting is good. And even now, I feel like people who are like older millennials, even, it's like, don't leave me a voicemail. Just text me and then I can get to it when I can. And it does kind of, it does alleviate. I feel like for me, it helps me even communicate more with people texting because I don't have time to just sit around and call people. And sometimes I'm nervous. I don't want
to
call.
I hate listening to voicemails. People leave me them. And I'm like, ugh, like, I don't know why. I just don't like it.
I'm this close. and my fingers are very close together to get my work voicemail, just being like, if you're leaving a message, just send me an email.
I just tell people to email, like, email me, that way it's tracked. I get back to people usually within an hour or two. I'm pretty quick.
My voicemail, I've had to have my voicemail password set like 4 times in the last year because I just never check my voicemail. I'm terrible. But I tell people, like, I don't answer my voicemail, just email me.
And so 85% of those in a romantic relationship expect to hear from their partner at least once a day.
Yeah.
Texting, calling. And if their partner delays in responding, it can make them feel worried or insecure.
Especially if that receipt says seen.
Oh, you're just why like, are they responding?
Or if you see delivered, because you know they got a notification. You know that they saw it. And then when it says seen and then they don't respond, that's and then you get a K back. Oof.
And 27% of teens that have dated have had a partner use social media to track where they're at.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to do that. Like, I feel like that's,
it comes across like it's stalkerish, but really it's not that hard to do. You just go to their profile and you're like, oh, well, then they're at a concert. Or
yeah, you have to try really, really hard to not be tracked.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean like it's almost like they make the tracking of people part of the fun.
Well, they do, because I always have your location on there, and mm-hmm. it gets automatically added to
it. Well, even in Snapchat, they have this little map thing where you can just, like, see emojis of all of your friends, mm-hmm. like where they are. So it is part of the interaction is knowing where your friends are.
And so another 27% of teens with dating experience said that social media made them feel jealous about their relationship.
Hmm.
That's actually a lower percentage than I thought it would be.
Like, you're off at the smoothie store.
Why are they with Brad?
Why are you with Brad? I want to hang out with Brad.
I know you do, baby.
I know. What are you going to do about it?
So last but certainly not least, we're moving to breaking up.
Breaking up on social media.
Well, and so they asked, you know, what's the best way to break up with someone? And most people agreed that the best way to break up with someone is...
Having a friend tell them.
In person.
In person. Okay.
Not very different than I think what most people would say.
No. Mm-mm.
And 27% of teen daters have broken up with someone via a text message.
Okay.
But the reason that they said that they used text was because they didn't want to face anger from that person or they were worried about physical retaliation.
Oh.
Yeah. So even those that did it over text, it wasn't like, oh, I just don't care. I'm being inconsiderate.
They might beat me up.
Yeah, I was like, that's a fairly good reason to me.
That's a lot of people who are afraid of getting beaten up.
27%.
Oof.
And then I did want to point out, though, that you know, they asked ways you broke up or whatever, and 6% broke up with their significant other just by changing their Facebook status.
Stacy is now single. Oh, no.
Let me scroll to the chart on the article because there's some. So they've 29% broke up with a phone call, 27 by text, 15%. I guess I just noticed this one. 15% just drifted away.
Like ghosted them kind of, or
yeah, probably just stopped messaging each other and then they just didn't
just drifted away.
And then 2%, so one person pretty much, or one or two people, by posting an image.
What is the process for teens these days when you do change your relationship? Do you like unfriend them? Do you banish them? Do you block them? Do you tell your friends to block them? Like, what is that order of process for letting go of that relationship?
You know, I think they did talk about that in a section too, but I just didn't cover it. But they did ask, so once you break up with someone...
Then what? What's the next thing?
So sometimes, what happens after a breakup? This is a quote. Sometimes this exposure involves old photos and old reminders of the past, and 43% of teen daters have untagged or deleted photos of themselves and a past partner on social media.
That makes sense.
And then other continuing on, other times this exposure involves an actual link to their former partner, and 42 have unfriended or blocked someone they used to be in relationship with.
Yeah, I can see. Yeah.
So I think there's that like untagging, removing, whatever.
And again, everything's the same and everything's different. I feel like even back in old timey days before Facebook, it was a similar kind of thing. You got all those pictures. You got to scratch their face off for the picture.
Yeah, burn
their face. You got to burn all their notes.
So for that, though, the researchers did go on to say there was kind of a range of what people said they would do. So some people erased every trace, but then other people did maintain some connection with people.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the teens agreed that it really depends on the nature of the relationship.
Yeah, and how the breakup went. Because sometimes it's just like, yeah, we're just not compatible, whatever.
And so the teen said that if a relationship was more serious, they were less likely to totally remove that person from their lives. So,
you know, like, let's just be friends.
Yeah. I mean, if someone's been a huge part of your life and it just doesn't work out.
Yeah, that's different. You realize that you are more than lovers. You are best friends. And you will go through the life as best friends. But that you need to date other people.
And then you'll have the movie My Best Friend's Wedding with Julia Roberts and Cameron Diaz.
And then you're Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. Stephanie.
So that is how the future dates.
How the future is dating and how the future dates. Thank you, Stephanie. I love how you were inspired by this conference and you kind of went down this rabbit hole that ended up being very cool. Very excited to hear about that stuff. Do you have any takeaways from the dating? What are your final thoughts on that?
All in all, I don't feel like it's too different. I thought it was going to be these big, huge, sweeping differences, but really it seems pretty similar. They just have more technology and different technology, but it doesn't seem...
Yeah, the basics of getting to know someone and breaking up with them do seem to like be what you would read in like Little Women or something. You know, you're writing these letters, you're talking to them, and you're going through these dramatic changes with your friends and your family. It's all the same, but it's the future. Stephanie, thank you so much for sharing that with us today.
Mm-hmm. Did you learn anything?
I learned that everything's the same and that drifting apart, that probably the worst way to break up with someone is just having a status change. That's really bad.
I want to know what those pictures were.
Oh, yeah, those pictures. That we're broken up. The picture. Oof. Well, thanks for that. I'm excited for this episode to go up. And we try to do an episode every Tuesday here at the Learn to Like Each Other podcast works. So thanks for joining us today. Please like and share the episode. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor FM, and all of the places you can get your good quality podcasts. We're there. So check us out and spread the love. And if you'd like, we have 125 past episodes that you can go listen to. Ranging from everything, from travel to dating your cousin. Do we have one of those?
That?
Probably.
We should do that.
Dating your cousin.
Or laws on it.
Yeah, why is dating your cousin so wrong?
Well, it's about the baby.
It's about the babies. Well, Stephanie, thank you so much for sharing that today. And anything else?
We hope that after listening to this podcast, you learn that you can like each other
very, very, very much.